You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are talking
while married.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Wall.
Wall who?
Well, Wall, you think about the Oscars.
Or the wall around the Oscars.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. So let me get this right and connect the dots. Everybody in Los Angeles County pays for the city streets. And the city streets inside the city of Los Angeles.
Certainly.
Including the city streets around Hollyweird.
Yes.
Okay. But apparently, those city streets are not always open to the people that paid for them. And what I mean by that is that we just had the Oscars. And what did the Oscar people do? They built a wall around the entire venue, blocking off all the public streets and making sure that they were protected, not only with a portable chain link fence. By the way, that's a barrier that you can see through, using politically correct terminology. But then they have LAPD and private security guards and bulletproof limousines and bodyguards right next to every single one of them, several of them, bodyguards for each major celebrity. And then they try to tell us that walls don't work.
Well, obviously they work for them. And I'm just wondering, if you made it over that wall, was there a sanctuary?
Well, I don't know, Linda.
Then could you go to the Oscars?
Well, I think you should be. I think you should be able to scale that wall.
Yes.
They should embrace you.
Yes.
Because walls really don't matter. And they should take you in and they should feed you at the Oscars and let you watch the venue.
And I think that they should then be able to go to the after parties and have drinks and
food.
Well,
I'd be there.
Yeah.
But you know what? Look at the hypocrisy of this. And Hollywood, most recently, are the people that have brought us Jussie Smollett, Kevin Spacey, pervert and child molester and child rapist, R. Kelly, another alleged child rapist, and Harvey Weinstein, who allegedly has pretty much raped and pillaged his way all the way through Hollywood for something like 30 years. And then they have the audacity to make disparaging comments about the United States, about President Trump, and you get Spike Lee, who's a famous or infamous director, and he wins an Oscar for some movie that he did. And by the way, I didn't even watch the Oscars, so I could care less what movie he did. I wouldn't go to any of his movies. But then he says we need to mobilize against President Trump. Well, I'll tell you what. Yeah, we need to mobilize, but not against President Trump. We need to mobilize against all these weirdos and perverts and anti-American people in Hollyweird.
Well, and they are absolutely anti-American. Under the guise of being American, they just do the opposite. So I don't know anybody that watched the Oscars, and I certainly didn't, and probably never will again. But the fact that they put their own wall up while not allowing states to have that same privilege, people that live on the borders who are inundated with these illegals. Well, it's not just the people on the borders, Ron, because once they get in the country, they go far and wide to every corner of our country. And as we've talked about many times, there's 25% of the prison population is illegal aliens.
And 44%, or a little over 40%, in the state of California, in the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation, are all convicted illegal aliens and felons.
Yeah, so these people, with their hypocrisy, don't want people bothering their event so that they can self-aggrandize. They don't want people bothering their homes, which are all surrounded with walls
and security.
And cameras and all those things, yet they don't want to give that to the rest of the American people. And you can tell the real hypocrisy when you listen to somebody, another Hollywood person like Bill Maher, who comes out and basically says that the people in the cities like Los Angeles, like San Francisco, like New York, they are the people that we all wish we could be. And I have to tell you that I found that so incredibly insulting that he should think that they are better than we in the other states are. And every American in all of those flyover states should be insulted and should take a stand against these people. Don't watch their movies. Don't watch their TV shows. This is really becoming that civil war that we talk about. And I want to tell you some of the things that Bill Maher said, Ron, because I don't know if you're aware. So he said, there's no red carpets in Wyoming and no one ever asks you, who are you wearing? Because the answer is always Target. And, you know, I have to say, you and I have lived in some fancy places in life. And we have lived in the Gold Coast in California. We've hobnobbed with the elite there. And guess what? We didn't like it. Why? Because there was no reality to their lives. Their lives were all about exactly what Bill Maher just said. What are you wearing? Who's on whose arm? Who's doing who? All these different things. But not about that personal values, not about God, not about family, none of that. They were only about their things.
Yeah, you know, when we lived in Newport Beach and around Corona Del Mar and everything like that, that was such a strange environment to live in. And, you know, I can honestly say that the whole time that we lived there, we never made one friend while we were there. People were not engaging. All the guys I met were on some sort of psychotropic medication and were in therapy.
Yes,
and here's the place where you get, you know, 60-year-old guys running around in Lamborghinis with 30-year-old women with, you know, what we used to call the noopy look, you know, the traditional jogging costume with the baseball cap and the ponytail
yes.
sticking out of the back of the baseball cap, the noopy look, and none of that was real. And I'll tell you what, I could hardly wait to get out of there and go back to ranching, where I felt so much more comfortable, and I know you did too.
Yeah, and you know, so I want to continue on with this because he said some other things that just every American should be insulted about. He said, our roofs have solar panels, theirs have last year's Christmas lights. The flyover states have become passed over states, and that's why red state voters are so pissed off. Well, let me tell you something, Bill. Red state voters are pissed off, and they're pissed off about the things that people like you are doing in this country. And we're so pissed off that we voted President Trump in, and thank God for that. And thank God that people in the red states got pissed off. And it's not because we want to be you. It's because we don't want to be you.
Right. And, you know, the more that this goes on, and, of course, everybody on the Democratic side and the new progressive left side and the socialist side have not only doubled down, but they've tripled down. I'll tell you what, I think there's going to be a reckoning in this next election. I think they think that it's going to be the reckoning that favors them. But I truly believe in talking with people that we talk to every single day, that I think there's going to be a reverse reckoning. And I'm saying my prayers, and I personally am going to do everything that I possibly can to make sure that President Trump gets another term in office.
Well, and don't forget, Bill Maher is also the guy who said that he's fine with an economic recession if it gets rid of Trump. Of course, under Trump, we're not going to have that economic recession. But the thing is, he is willing to hurt Americans because he lives in a bubble. He's insulated. He has his own security, his own walls. And, you know, the rest of us be damned is really his attitude. So his suggestion is that Amazon relocate to a red state in order to bring voters more prosperity so that they could be more like them, because that is what we want to do, is be like them. That could not be further from the truth. We want to be as far away from being like them. Here's what they don't have that we in the flyover states have, Ron. They don't have patriotism. They don't have true love of their country and patriotism. They just don't even know what it is. They don't have knowledge. They have I don't know, for lack of a better word, fake knowledge.
What I'm going to say is that they're engaged. They think they're engaged, but they're only self-engaged. They're only engaged with each other. And, you know, like I said, I haven't watched the Oscars for years because there's nothing, it's a value system that doesn't match my own value system. It's self-aggrandizing. It's self-congratulatory. It's not really a big deal. You have relatively few people making an exorbitant amount of money, and their riches insulate them, just like you said, and keep them in the bubble. They are nothing like the people that go see their movies. Nothing like us at all. And you know what? I don't really even go see their movies because they're not making movies these days that are really worth a damn. And every time they're so out of ideas that they keep bringing back movies from 20 and 30 years ago and offering it up as some new venue. Okay.
You know, and my question would be, so you don't want President Trump. For what reason? I honestly don't understand. I don't understand what President Trump has done to anger these people. But the thing is, and then what? What is it that you want that he is not doing? Because we have more jobs than we've had in umpteen years. And that is across every color line, every race line, male, female, everything. He has just done so much to uplift America, and yet they put him down constantly, and I don't understand that. But I want to say one more thing. Here's what else they don't have that we have. They don't have those values. They don't have those kind of old-fashioned American values of ethics, of doing the right thing, of being kind to other people, of
family,
of giving to those less fortunate. A family, they just don't. They are train wrecks in their lives. They are out there partying, doing drugs constantly, swapping partners constantly. That is not something that I think the people in the red states want to emulate. And I will tell you, traveling across this country, Ron, as we do, I can just absolutely with 100% certainty tell you who is happier. It is not the people on those left and right coasts that are bashing Trump. It is the people in the flyover states. They are happier in their lives and in their souls and in just the small pleasures of life that are truly the cornerstone of all of happiness.
Well, you know, just to keep it simple, there is so much drama associated with these people. The people that are the most vociferous on the left, the Hollywood elites, some of these athletes, you know, the politicians that are involved in the new progressive left, there is so much drama in their lives. And it's like they need an outlet. There's so much drama in their lives. They've got so many problems internally. You named, you know, a variety of them that they stir the pot because they're not satisfied with their own lives, and so we shouldn't be satisfied with ours. Well, like you said, the country is going in an outstanding direction right now, economically, trade-wise, job-wise, manufacturing-wise. It's a safer country than it was before President Trump took office, and God bless him and his team of professionals. You know, we are on a strategic ascent worldwide where the people from other countries are respecting the United States more. The thing that I think they find is so frustrating about President Trump, and let's just take his, you know, occasional bombasticness out of the way, is that they can't control him. They can't control him verbally. He says what's on his mind, and they can't control what he does. And they hate him for that. He's not there for some sort of quid pro quo like all these other people
yes.
are. And you just watch these new freshman congresswomen like, you know, AOC and Omar and mm-hmm. Tlaib, and you're already seeing that OAC, you know, AOC. AOC, I've got to get the whole acronym right. You know, Cortez, you watch how fast she takes the money. Okay,
well,
just watch.
I
personally believe that she's going to transcend, until they vote her out, she's going to transcend Pelosi and Feinstein and, you know, the women in her, you know, party. She's and Waters, Maxine Waters, she's going to make them all look like a bunch of freshmen. She's going to bring in so much money and insulate herself quicker than any of them ever did.
Well, I'll say one more thing that Bill Maher said. He said, if you leave the red states behind, they're going to keep getting angrier and crazier. And I would say you really need to change one word in there, Bill. If you leave the blue states behind, they're going to keep getting angrier and crazier, because it is not the red states who are angry and crazy. It is not us making all of these, you know, fake news and protests and crazy statements.
And lies.
And lies. It is you all on the blue side. So, and what's happening is you are getting angrier and crazier, and especially in Hollywood, because we're not listening to you anymore.
Well, you know, that's a good point. And I know for a fact that every single year for the past 5 years, the audience for the Oscars and the audience for the Grammys have gone down demonstrably. And I think over last year, there was a 20% decrease. So people are just turning it off. You know, the actors in Hollywood are not personalities that the common person resonates with. And I think the more that they do, and the Bill Maher's and the Jon Stewart's and, you know, all of these, you know, talking heads, the Kimmels, all of that, the more they anger the American people, the more they're disenfranchised from them. And so all the people that are going to be listening to them are just people that, you know, want to go in that direction anyway and are already listening to CNN and MSNBC and all of that. But none of that is reality.
Hey, Ron, can I get you another cup of coffee?
Well, the Out Loud perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutloud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep, but it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
Hey, thanks for the coffee. And may I make an apology for my bad knock-knock joke? All right. Actually, I thought it was a good knock-knock joke, but I screwed it up because I laughed halfway through it.
Hey, You're still laughing.
I want to talk about the continued exodus of corporations from the state of New York. All right. Now, here's a couple of things to keep in mind. The state of New York is the number two state in the United States in the highest taxes, not only for corporations, but for people. And for all of the commercials that the state of New York is doing on television to convince businesses that New York is the place to do business, all of their actions and behaviors are in opposition to their commercials. And here's a case in point. Now, obviously, they just blew an amazing opportunity by Amazon to come into Ocasio-Cortez's district in Queens, and I think they were gonna spend at least $25 billion there in putting in a headquarters and then bringing in 25,000 jobs at an average pay of about $150,000 a person. And can you imagine the infrastructure that would have supported a corporation of that size in the city of Queens, and how that would have trickled down to the common man? You know, all of the restaurants, all of the Uber drivers, all of the cab drivers,
the cleaners, the doctors, the dentists.
Exactly, you name it. I mean, for God's sakes, you're bringing 25,000 jobs into a district. And they would have realized, I think, in the first year, the state of New York, the city of New York, about $27 billion. And they went from $27 billion to zero. And all because that the Amazon Corporation, and I thought they wrote a beautiful letter explaining why they were pulling out. It was a business climate that was aggressive against them.
Yes.
And they didn't feel comfortable. It was kind of like a, you know, what do they say? It was a hostile work environment, and they hadn't even begun working yet. So they lost that opportunity.
Right. And they, you know, the city of New York has to get its act together, because they are divided, as is the whole country. They're just a microcosm of the rest of the country. They're divided. It was some of their people in New York who created that environment, and others who desperately wanted Amazon to come in and
were not hurt.
Just imagine the boom that it would have been for all those business owners that are already there, people that are already struggling. Because don't forget that New York has lost a lot of their tax base because their millionaires and billionaires are moving out.
Right. And, you know, when we talk about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, that woman flunked economics 101. She has no idea of what economics is all about. And she thought that there was a slush fund in the city of New York worth billions of dollars, and that the city of New York was just going to give Amazon, you know, $3 billion a year. Well, she wasn't even smart enough to understand that this was a tax incentive. In other words, the state of New York and the city of New York were going to get $27 billion from Amazon.
In tax revenues.
Mm-hmm. And from that money that they would have already had in their pockets, they would have simply deducted $3 billion from that.
Exactly.
She couldn't even figure out that simple math. And
no.
As a result, Amazon just stopped everything dead in its tracks. And it's looking at, you know, cities like Nashville, Tennessee, and two or three, you know, other places in the Carolinas.
They're actually building several places in most of those places, certainly in Nashville, and then a few other places. So they're building more than one. They're bringing workers to a lot of different places. So she really messed things up for the people in her district that voted for her. I hope that they're angry. I hope that they really rethink about who they vote for in their district, because you can't take somebody who is a bartender, who has not been able to pay her own rent, who has no idea about economics. And Ron, in my opinion, what has happened with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is once she started running for an office, and once she won that first primary that knocked the other guy out, she has been really taken over by these two professors.
Right.
And
She's got handlers.
Handlers, whatever that you want to call them. People that are using her, that are making a stooge out of her, that are making her a puppet, that are telling her things that aren't true, that she is believing. And she sits there wide-eyed and stupid and takes it all in and then spews it all out for them. And what a great thing for them. They've got a talking head.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's the thing. Stupid is as stupid does, okay? And you've got to have a brain in the first place for you to remember the talking points, all right? I mean, she can't even remember the talking points. That's how dumb she is. But it's unfortunate. And what I saw now is our people in the state of New York and organizations and even Amazon, perhaps, just speculation on my part, have started putting up billboards in her district.
Yeah, I don't think it was Amazon.
Well, I'm just saying, mm-hmm. speculating. I'll tell you, if I was the owner of Amazon, I'd be putting money in to get those billboards mm-hmm. up. And just to say, look what this idiot cost you. Look what it cost you, New Yorkers. Look what it cost you, people that live in Queens. And you ought to think twice about, you know, voting this person back into office. I'll tell you the truth, and I'll probably be wrong, because people are kind of dumb. I've heard, obviously, anybody that voted her was pretty dumb. But I'd be surprised if she gets reelected. But let me just continue with this theme about the exodus from New York.
Yes.
Here is a company that's near and dear to my heart. I have several of their products, and that's the Remington Firearms Company. Now, the Remington Firearms Company is located in a town called Ilion, New York, mm-hmm. which is in upstate New York. And people in upstate New York are not like people from New York City. Those are just, you know, normal people. You have a lot of conservative people that live around there. But one of the problems is that Remington Firearms Company is one of America's oldest continually operating manufacturing companies. I don't know if you know that. And it started in upstate New York in Ilion way back in 1816.
Wow.
And it produced millions of firearms, and also it's, I think, maybe the only manufacturing company that also produces ammunition in the same manufacturing plant. So you've got guns on one side and you've got ammunition on the other. So it employs thousands of people. Well, it finally said, we've had enough of the state of New York. It is so repressive in the way, in their tax structure. Okay, so against business, so repressive, so restricted. And by the way, it is the number one state in all of the 50 states with the most restrictive business regulations and most aggressive anti-business climate.
Wow, I'm surprised that it would beat California, because that's pretty bad.
Exactly. But despite all the commercials that you see on television, which is just basically spin from the Chamber of Commerce, the reality is it's the most repressive, controlled, restrictive, and regulated business environment in all of the 50 states. So what Remington said just this week is that we've had enough and we're pulling out. And they are going to pull out of Ilion, New York. They're going to take 2,000 employees with them, and they're going to Alabama, and they're already guaranteeing an investment of $87 billion to build the first phase of their manufacturing plant. So a company that has been in New York since 1816 is pulling out of New York and is moving to another state.
Well, and this is just what's happening, which is funny because it brings me back to my thought about Bill Maher, where Bill Maher is saying that we all want to be them. And if we want to be them so badly, why is everybody fleeing these coasts? I mean, people are fleeing California, people are fleeing New York, and they're going to those red states. And it's not we're not fleeing to those states, right? We're fleeing away from them.
Well, you know, the collateral damage, I think, is really a story. You know, obviously what I've been talking to you about right now is the first part of the story. But kind of like Paul Harvey, you know, said when he was alive, here's the rest of the story.
Yeah.
The rest of the story is what is going to happen to the town of Ilion, New York, because the entire town was built around that manufacturing plant. So you've got businesses, you know, infrastructure, you've got schools, you've got social services, you've got a hospital, you've got all of these things basically to support the employees of the Remington Firearms Company. And now that entire company is going to be gone. Let me tell you something. Many, many years ago when I was a very young man, and you remember, I started out as a history teacher before I got into law enforcement. But because I was a history teacher, I used to love to take the vacation time and travel across the country to learn about United States history. And I lived for one summer, I lived in a very small town called Derry, Pennsylvania, about 45 miles outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And the town used to have a GE, a General Electric plant. And what this plant did, the only thing this plant did was build those ceramic insulators that you see, you know, in those days you would see up on the telephone poles and the big power poles. Well, GE started, you know, losing market share and basically went out of business. And all the little tiny towns around Derry, Pennsylvania, population 2,200 people, they all folded and they became
ghost towns.
And it was just so sad.
What happens to those towns, Ron, is the same thing that happened in Detroit or in some of the coal mining cities where immigrants move in. So in Detroit, we had a lot of the Muslim population move in there. They made their own little enclaves there. And they don't assimilate, or you have whatever the demographic is for that area. These towns will then attract this type of people, and it will change the face of the area from what it was, certainly. So when you have a city that gets abandoned, you have very low income people that move into there.
Right, because the real estate is severely depressed.
Yes.
And the only people that can afford the real estate are very, very low income people.
Right. And, you know, just think about, too, the people in that area that, as that real estate gets depressed, you know, their life savings are in their house. They're going to have a very difficult time selling it. So, you know, hopefully, you'd hope that somebody else would buy that factory and do something with it, but I don't think that's going to happen because it's too specific for what it does.
Right. This is a firearms company, so all of the infrastructure inside the building all deals with, you know, machinery and manufacturing both firearms parts, and ammunition. Now, if they're smart to save money, they will tear everything out that they can with respect to manufacturing, put those things in trucks, and cart that down to Alabama. And so you're going to have a giant see-through building with really nothing in it. And I don't think, just based on what I've seen around the United States over the years that I've been alive, is that it's very difficult for another company to come into that type of plant and build something different in there.
Yeah, you know, it'd be interesting, Ron, for us to kind of follow this story and see what happens to that town.
I agree.
Well, just to switch gears a little bit, Ron, you know, federal prosecutors are going to be charging the New England Patriots owner with soliciting prostitution. So Robert Kraft, he was swept up. He and 24 other men were arrested for allegedly paying for sexual favors at the Orchid of Asia Day Spa in Jupiter, Florida. The thing that's interesting to me about this story, Ron, is, you know, we talk about building the border wall. We talk about the sex trafficking that's going on. And there's sex trafficking of all different types. Certainly, they come up through the border by the SCADs. They come right through Texas. We're very well aware of it. But this particular day spa was full of women from China. And these were women that were promised to come to the United States, paid to come to the United States to have a better life. And when they got here, lo and behold, they were forced into sex trafficking. So here we have these rich, and by the way, there's more than Robert Kraft. There are other celebrities involved in this sting operation. And they are propagating or making this possible to continue by continuing to pay for these women's services who are being sex trafficked. And I just can't tell you how disturbing I think that is. You know, rather than people like this try to honor women, try to do the right thing, not to mention, you know, fooling around on your wife and all of that, all of the moral issues with it, leaving that aside, these women are forcibly here to have sex, and somebody's making money off of it. And the people that are supposed to be the best of us, the people that are the wealthy of us, are victimizing these women.
Yeah, you know, I know the subject of prostitution and sex trafficking, especially child sex trafficking, are things that are near and dear to your heart. You know, both of us were in law enforcement. Both of us worked undercover prostitution. And it's just a tragedy. And what people don't understand about prostitution and the sex trafficking communities is that these are very much victim crimes. You know, I did so much work on street prostitution as you did. I even wrote a book about it. And what I found when I was doing my work in interviewing hundreds and hundreds of prostitutes that I arrested, is that this is far from a victimless crime. I mean, even the prostitutes that are the street-level prostitutes or the escorts and things, they kind of fool themselves. But, you know, they get locked into this, they get locked into this fantasy that they have that they're going to make a whole bunch of money really quick, and then they're going to be able to escape this and lead a normal life. That never happens. And, you know,
how would you lead a normal life after this?
Well, no, that's exactly right. I mean, mentally, these women are all they're all train wrecks. But, you know, what you're talking about is even far more serious than regular street prostitution, because in street prostitution, you know, the women do have pimps. There are a lot of them that are independents, but in sex trafficking, they are in these locations where they are guarded 24/7. They can't go anywhere whatsoever. They are prisoners of these sex trafficking organizations, and they're there to do nothing 24/7 except eat, sleep, and have sex with people.
And they're slaves of this.
And they never get out.
And here we have another governor in Wisconsin, Tony Evers, who joined a bunch of other Democrats like Gavin Newsom in saying that there is no emergency on the border. And they just deny that these things are happening. These women very well could have come up over the border. We don't know how they got here, but they very well could have come through the border, because don't forget, it is not just Hispanics coming through that border. It is all different nationalities. And I think that when we talked about it, we found it was something like 76 different countries coming through over that border. So we just need to stop this denial and start being realistic about helping these victims.
You know, I agree entirely with you. It's a serious issue, and the American people need to know more about it. How about our last cup of coffee?
You got it.
I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
As former law enforcement officers, we know that your life and the lives of those you love and work with can change in an instant when you encounter an active shooter.
Unfortunately, in today's world of uncertainty, encountering an armed active shooter can have deadly consequences. That's why the key to survival is training and preparedness.
And that's why we want to invite our listeners to seriously consider taking our Response to Active Shooter training course.
Violence can happen to you anytime and anywhere, and when you least expect it. Having a response and survival plan and engaging it can be the difference between life and death for you or a family member.
Our Response to Active Shooter courses are customized for the corporate, school, church, restaurant, and small business environment at a reasonable budget that fits your needs.
So don't put this life-saving training off because you don't think it will ever happen to you. We call those people victims.
Our Response to Active Shooter instructors are all nationally renowned tactical law enforcement experts who will guide you through the life-saving protocols you'll need to survive an active shooter event.
So be a victor, not a victim. Go to ResponseToActiveShooter.com to learn more today.
Remember, that's all one word, ResponseToActiveShooter.com, and be safe out there.
I think that there was some really disappointing news that occurred just recently, and that is that the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act was voted down along party lines, 53-44, with only Democrats voting against it. And this was a legislation that would have required that any infant born alive after an abortion attempt receive medical care like any other newborn. And for us to have voted it down, Ron, is just, I just can't even, it's shocking. It's just shocking that we're at that place in this country.
I just don't know what the Democrats stand for in the progressive left. I can't believe that people that are even Democratic voters, not necessarily members of the new progressive left, but just your average everyday Democratic voter, your moderate Democrats, are in favor of this. To me, it's murder.
It is. It's infanticide, and that is just what it is, and you can't make it anything else. And the fact that they voted this down is, I just think it's a very sad day in our country. Again, we need to stand up and be counted and understand that everybody's busy and that we all work and that we are living our lives. But it's time for people to take stands on these kinds of issues.
I completely agree with you. Well, then I want to talk about a couple of things that are near and dear to my heart. Number one is officer violence or violence against officers. And number two is our just decrepit educational system, especially at the university level, the college level. And there is a university professor by the name of Joshua Clover. And he actually comes from my dad's alma mater, which is the University of California in Davis, and which is basically an agri-technical university with also applied and medical science. But this guy's in the liberal arts section. He teaches English literature. And I was reading a very excellent, albeit very long, column by a reporter by the name of Nick Irvin. And Mr. Irvin reports for the Aggie, which is the college newspaper.
Okay.
And he did an investigation into Professor Clover. And I must say he did a wonderful job for a young fella. And he had heard rumors about a professor at the university that was advocating the murder of police officers. And he said, you know, he kept trying to tie it down to make it more than a rumor and get his vetted facts. And it took him about 6 months to do so, but he finally found out who the professor was after documenting a number of tweets that the professor had written in 2014 and again in 2016. And he found that it was this English literature professor, Joshua Clover. Clover has advocated in his tweets and in his personal comments that police officers, we'd be better off, first of all, if all police in the United States were abolished, and number two, we had less police officers by murdering police officers. And this is absolutely incredulous, and especially in consideration of the recent death of a beautiful young police officer from Davis, California, not the university, but the university is in Davis, California, and her name is Natalie Corona, and I think you remember this. She was the police officer that was at an accident scene, sitting in her car, and a guy with a mental health history just came up to the car and shot her to death. So nothing precipitated that. This was not a person stop. It wasn't a vehicle stop. This officer was defenseless in her car, and she was just outright murdered by this guy, who then went home and killed himself. Okay, so a useless loss of a beautiful life of a woman that was upcoming in the Davis Police Department. So then you've got this Professor Clover, who has been tweeting out about the murder of police officers. So Mr. Irvin's story is all about who takes responsibility, who takes accountability, and can anything be done to discipline or fire this Professor Clover. And he, to make a long story short, he goes to the division dean. He, first of all, he gets all of his ammunition together and has the documented tweets, and he had reached out to the professor, and the professor admitted those were his tweets, and he tried to blow this reporter off. So now the reporter, armed with that information, including basically an admission by Clover that, yes, that's his handle on Twitter, and those are his tweets, he goes to the division dean and say, is there anything that you're going to do about this? This person is advocating, outright advocating the murder of police officers. And the division dean totally blew him off and said, this is First Amendment freedoms, and we try to celebrate all of our, all of our faculty here, and he's allowed to, you know, to say basically whatever he wants to say. And so, not taking no for an answer, Mr. Irvin took it all the way up to the provost. And in the college, that would be the second in command of the college, right? The person that's in charge of all the deans, all the different schools at Davis. He's kind of like the cop, All right, that's what the provost is. He's sort of like the enforcer of rules and regulations. And he told Mr. Irvin basically that although that everything that Professor Glover or Clover had said about the murder of police officers is despicable and reprehensible, and we support our law enforcement, there was nothing that the university was going to do because police officers are not in a protected class. Now, if they would have been a member of a minority community, if it would have been a member of the LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ community, if it would have had anything to do with people with disabilities, yes, they could have disciplined them and they could have fired them. But apparently, police lives don't matter.
Well, they should matter to everybody. And I mean, what's happening in our schools is a whole conversation for another day. And I think we should really talk about that again, because it's something that you and I are very passionate about.
Well, you know, I just want to say one more thing. And with regards to the embedding of these radical leftist professors, and Mr. Glover, Professor Glover, is associated with the Marxism movement, with the communist movement, and also I believe he was may have even been an arrested protester associated with Occupy, which is more of an anarchist anti-government
Yes. Mm-hmm.
movement. These are the people that are teaching our kids, and I think you and I had a conversation not too long ago where you were telling me that only 39% of all the colleges and universities in the United States have even one
conservative
instructor or professor. Mm-hmm. And that's just disgraceful, because these are the people that are literally teaching our kids. And
yes,
we've allowed that to happen, so shame on us.
Yes, shame on us. And, you know, just one more little interesting tidbit note. You know, we now have that the NCAA policy is that male athletes who identify as transgender can compete on women's teams if they suppress their testosterone levels for a full calendar year. Well, that is happening now, and this CeCe Telfer is now one of the fastest runners on the women's track and field team, and actually brought the school, which is the Franklin Pierce's women's track team, up into their top 25 rankings for the first time ever. I'm not sure that how I feel about this, because here was a man who was running on a man's team, and he didn't really get to the top of that team, and then changed over to the women's team, and now, you know, he's winning all the medals. And, you know, this is all mixed up to me, and I'm not sure that this is fair to all the other women on the team who are biological women.
Well, boy, I'll tell you what, you struck a nerve with me. I ran for the United States team, All-American a couple of times. I really wanted to make it into the Olympics, but I just wasn't fast enough. And I was a track coach for many years in high school and also at the junior college level. And I will tell you what, and this is, you know, absolutely not politically correct, and you know me, I'm not politically correct, but just because you think that you resonate with women does not make you a woman. And men are built completely different than women. That's why there are, that's why we have men's track and field and women's track and field, and we have different records in the record books for men and women. We don't have a combined record book for any sport that we have in the United States. And for these guys that, and I think it's cowardly, these guys can't make it in their own grouping, then what they do is now they say, okay, well, now I believe I'm a woman, and they go and they compete in women's sports so that they can rise up and get opportunities that they couldn't get in men's track and field. I think it's disgraceful. And I feel so bad, because I taught women's track and field and I had such dedicated female athletes on my team. It just breaks their heart.
Well, it demoralizes to work. Them.
It does. Totally. It absolutely mm-hmm. does. And it demoralizes the entire team. So they do not celebrate the victory of this man that comes on their track team. They are pissed off about it, It doesn't move them as women forward. It demoralizes them, and it hurts the team overall. Yeah, you can get you. There's two ways that you can look at this. You can look at it, well, for the first time in X amount of years, now they're in the top 25. They're in the top 25 only because of a fraud, okay, and not because a group of women who have trained so hard all their lives got that team up to that place. It's because one person who was cowardly and selfish and just for themselves put that team in that ranking. And I just think it's disgraceful.
Well, and what the women say that are on the team is that they already know the outcome of the race before it starts.
So sure, why even do it?
Yeah.
Why even do it?
And this is not the only instance. It happens in track and field. It now happens in handball. It happens in football. So, you know, we're getting all mixed up here, and I'm not sure that it's a good thing for America.
Well, I want to just say a couple of things. So what are you going to do about it? Me, I'm a rebel, and this is why I couldn't teach in school anymore or wouldn't be able to coach in school anymore. If I was a track coach of an opposing team that knew that I had to compete, my female team had to compete against this guy, I wouldn't bring my team to compete. I wouldn't, because what's the point?
No, you're
right. Because it's a fraud. Why would I participate in a fraud? But of course, now with all the rules and Title IX and all this stuff, you know, I'd be seen as some homophobe or transgender phobe or whatever the heck it is for not doing that. And you just, I'm sorry, my work ethos would be in support of my female athletes and not some guy that fraudulently came on to a female track team posing as a female because he thinks he's a female.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, so we are in Hawaii as we speak at this moment.
And, beautiful Kauai, and the weather during the daytime has been absolutely beautiful, although now it's pitch black.
And but that's okay. And, you know, it's just a little break, and what it does for us, and I think what vacation should do for anybody is kind of give you a sense of renewal, revitalization, take a step back from our crazy lives. And, you know, for us, Ron, it's been a time that we put our minds back into doing what we say that we're going to do all the time, which we started out the New Year's with a resolution that we certainly didn't keep, but we're renewed here. And we, a couple years ago, came over and we started a workout routine, and we did the same thing this time.
Every morning and late afternoon.
Yeah, and we've really kept to it, and, you know, every day feeling stronger and stronger. And, you know, our intention certainly is to keep up with that when we get home.
It's amazing what Tylenol does.
but vacation is a great time. We've met some wonderful people. And, you know, just a beautiful atmosphere. It's a short vacation, but a vacation nonetheless. And speaking of Hawaii, I want to say something interesting about Hawaii. You know, in Hawaii, a lot of people smoke. Right.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm so surprised to see that. You know, you think people would be in better shape, and no. You know, but they smoke. A lot of smokers here.
Yeah, a lot of smokers. Well, the age to buy cigarettes in Hawaii is 21, and there is a bill on the table actually like this to bring the age to buy cigarettes up to 100 years old. Yes, I'm very serious. So the law currently in place is at 21. With this proposal, the legal cigarette purchasing age would rise to 30.
What about those e-cigarettes? Are they talking about the e-cigarettes?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
30 next year, 40 the next year, 50 in 2022, 60 in 2023. So that by 2024, the legal age to purchase cigarettes would be 100 years old. And, you know, that I think that that's kind of a pretty cool initiative.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, never having been a smoker, and I just don't like to go around restaurants or any place where people are smoking. I happen to be one of those people that are just affected by cigarette smoke, and I don't want to be around smokers, I mean, at all. So, you know, maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah, but I thought it was interesting because I've never seen that.
But let me talk about something about what you said, and that's coming out and taking a vacation. We've been working so darn hard. I think the first 2 days that we've been here, I did more sleeping than anything else, is trying to catch up to my sleep. But what's been really nice for me is that you and I, because we're working out every day, we're taking long walks, and we get to talk to each other, and we talk all the time. But it's more personal Dr. Ron and Linda time together, and you and me just, you know, solidifying the relationship and just enjoying things together and the things that we have in common, you know, together, and just having wonderful discussions during these, you know, these 5 mile walks. So and dropping a few lbs is for me just an extra extra bonus.
Yeah, and you know, it's not just, of course, vacations revitalize your relationships if you have a strong relationship to start with. But you know, the other interesting thing to me that happens is we aren't bothered by cell phones during those times, and we come up with great business ideas while we're walking and talking.
Yeah,
and
we just can't stop. I don't know what about two entrepreneurs. You got to stop us. We're out of control.
Keep bouncing things off. And we also have one of our boys with us. So although he's kind of doing his own thing, you know, we're enjoying a meal from time to time and sharing some family time too. So, you know, vacations are good for everybody. They just are revitalizing for relationships and for your soul.
Yeah, and it's like anything else with a relationship. You know, you got to work on it, but it's really nice if you can go to a beautiful location that's romantic, enjoy the weather, enjoy the water, eat some good food, and at the same time, continue our commitment to work out. And it's late tonight, so I am going to bid you adieu, and I will see you in the boudoir. Look at that French. Is that impressive?
I'm impressed.